Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
In a month where the mackerel men remain top, Cole Rushworth attracts Barcelona scouts to Woodside and Pete Vale hijacks Robin's TV of his goal celebration, we welcome you to Rebel Yell the Podcast, Episode 1, The Launch.
Rebel Yell the Podcast.
Guys, in the room today, you've got myself, James. Usual presenters.
Yeah, Sam from the fanzine, Rebel Yell.
Peter Vale, commentator.
And who have we got joining us?
And Spencer from the Away Boys and newly of the Sports Association.
Yeah, the newest member of the Sports Association.
Stuart Evans.
And the best till last.
George Dow.
Who are you, George?
Aaron Apple.
Oh, that's the one, that's the one. So, chaps, a mixed February then. What do we think about February? Should we go through the results from the first one? What was the first fixture of the month, Sam? You said it.
Carl Shorten was on the 1st of February away. Always a tough place to go. But we got a result.
Pete, you
Pete, he
had a bit of a celebration, as I said on the radio.
I did go a bit mad at the penalty at the end. Yeah, I think it was something like, it's in, it's
convenient.
In.
What, mad? When it went in or when we got the penalty?
When it went in.
Have you heard it? It's on their actual TV channel. They've got, you can hear the commentary in the background, and Pete's like, yes, yes. It's like, what was it for you and the team, Stu, like that first victory of February after that long run of it?
Carl Shorten. Yeah. I mean, it's... I think it was last season we went there and scored the last minute goal as well.
Yeah, as you were.
Yeah, as you were. There's no better feeling than the last minute goal, is it? Yeah, the boys were buzzing. Obviously realising how close it was to just a point, but yeah, it was...
Big 3 points as well, because now they're up at the top of the table, so... Yeah, they're not far behind us.
And it was a massive 3 points away at Bishop's as well. On the 4th of Feb, a few days later, and that was cold, freezing cold. Me and you loved doing commentary. But another pretty decent goal from Ricky. I know it took a few bobbles, a few deflections, but he's been racking up the goals.
Yeah, yeah. That was his ninth for the season. So he's scored again since then. So he's one behind Ollie Pearce at the moment for golden boot from a defensive midfield position, which is quite impressive.
It's amazing how the goals have been shared around the team as well. There's not one person that's out there scoring 25, 30 goals, whatever it is. Everybody's getting in. So.
We would love that. We would love someone out there scoring 25 goals, but they are coming from somewhere. Yeah.
Would have never gone.
But then we, and then after that, we had the little blip. Started the little blip, weren't it? What was that one? Folkestone.
Cray.
Cray was the first one. Cray, yeah.
So a good crowd over 900. Yeah, we could have been 3-0 at half time, quite easily. Reece scored the goal, put us 1-0 up. But yeah, two sloppy goals to give away in the end, really.
The week before, we got a last-minute winner. You know, we took the brunt of it that time, 90th minute conceding. Never nice doing that, especially when you're at home pushing for promotion.
And no time to get back in the game.
No time to get back into the game, but we played well. We played well in all the games that we lost, I think.
Yeah, it's probably a good time of the season to have a blip as well, rather than last 5 or 6 games of the season. Let's get the blip out.
That was last season, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So it's a good time to have a blip. I think, from Pinch's point of view, I think the boys kind of learned from that.
I think that's the thing that's seen us through as well. It's, you know, we've lost games, but we've played well. And it's really something to take forward into the next game.
The velocity was a disappointing one, I think, though. That was because it would have been good to be on for the treble. But as most cup exits, they say in the clubs, it's better to concentrate on the league. And I'm sure that was going around the changing room, Stu, was it?
Yeah, I don't think Hinch takes kindly losing any game. So, yeah, definitely it's one of those that it'd be nice to go on for the treble, but in reality, it'd
be official. You'll be playing Hinch's thoughts later, I believe. Pete done a nice monthly review with him.
Yeah. That's going to be one of the one of the monthly highlights will be a review with Hinch. So we're quite, I'm sure Pete will summarise that shortly before we do it. But back to the football, and so we went from that loss against the Velocity Trove against Chesshunt in the midweek. What was that score again? Was it
3-1?
Yeah, it was disappointing. We were watching it from the stands with RebelYell.live. It was frustrating, especially with beating them 2-0 the couple of weeks before in the league.
But there was a lot of changes to that team, because obviously we brought Jelly back and
Joe Clark
back in the team. Yeah, I mean, that being said, though, there was a team capable of going out and winning the game. You know what I mean? There's not one person that came into that side that probably didn't make a big difference to the team we played last Saturday.
That's just the amount of changes does affect.
Yeah, of course.
A lot of players have played together for a long time.
It's too easy to hide behind that as an excuse sometimes, though.
And the third of the three defeats was Folkestone, you know.
Which was like the worst weather that I've seen here for a long time.
Storm Dennis, he had a bit to say during that game. I believe it made a few social media posts as well about how high that shot went from one of their strikers.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a very bad shot.
It was an awful shot. But it's a shame because Rushworth putting off that save of the season in the first half,
absolute worldie,
that's been shared on lots of social media sites around the world, and to concede that weak goal, yeah, Barcelona, even, yeah, Mr. Barcelona. So, but that was just gutting, and especially when you're hearing rumours that Folkestone, there's a bit of unrest with their supporters at the moment. I don't know if any of you heard that. Some of them don't want to go up right now, and there's a bit of unrest calling for the manager's head after the loss on Saturday. Just gone. I don't know if you guys have heard of that.
There's a lot of conspiracy theories going around that they don't want to go up, and the manager doesn't want to go up.
It's something to do with the board, but the manager does want to go up because he wants to finish on a high.
But only on the budget or something, isn't it?
You can't do it on the budget he's got or something, but they're second in the table. So
it's not done too bad.
Yeah. What you'll find with us football fans is we do look at the forums of the other teams and your CVs.
But it's
rumours, isn't it? It's all rumours.
Oh, well, I look at the football Twitter of a certain club down the road and get blocked from it. So, which we all got blocked yesterday from Bogner's fan account. So, if you're listening now, which you probably are, and you'll never admit it, because apparently you were listening to RebelYell.live on Saturday and we were awful. But, you know, they were listening to our commentary during their own game. So, I'm sure they'll listen to this, and I'm sure they have some constructive feedback, but
I've never heard anything so boring, so dull and boring. How dare they?
Kind of a wind up anyway. And then we got back for that midweek local Sussex derby, which the away fans outnumbered the home fans at Lewis down the dripping pan.
God, at least 70-30.
What an atmosphere.
Nice no numbers, actually. How many of you?
Because what was the total? About 730-odd, wasn't it? Yeah, and I mean, we must have had at least,
455.
Yeah, there was that those stands were packed with Worthy fans. Yeah, it was amazing.
What I did really like about that, especially second half, was the safe standing with the rails, you know, having those up there, because you were raised and everyone had a great view of the pitch, it always is at the dripping pan, but everyone at that level was like, come on lads, let's get a winner.
Two
in quick succession.
I mean, Ricky's first goal. I mean, I'm not going to go about laptop gate again, because I think everyone's heard about it in the club, and every Tom, Dick and Harry and its dogs heard about my laptop being smashed again. Thanks, Lewis fans. But I went to the toilet to go and get a beer, and I saw Ricky's going in that lovely, lovely little half volley, and then come back out the toilet, and Jasper smashed it in at the far post as well. And it's like, I need to go to the toilet more often, I think, during a match and go get.
But to be fair, they did respond to us, didn't they?
Yeah. Like Stu, what was said at half time? Because the players come out really pumped up.
I can't remember, mate, if I'm being really honest. I think just trying to remember the game. I think it was just more of a case of the you boys know you got in the locker, get out of there, show it. that's been around hinting and changing. That's coming out there. Yeah, just go out there and show it. I mean, the boys, yeah, got it in. They're the best footballing side of this league by far. So just go out and do what you do, and we'll turn it around, I'm sure.
Yeah, and it was one thing you glossed over is Connor's first goal.
What?
I thought he looked a lot better from a wide position.
Absolutely. He had the beating of their left back all night long.
Coming in on his left foot, he looked a lot sharper.
He seemed to have settled in because obviously the first game he played, was it the Chesnut game? No, it was the Folkestone game he played. Yeah, and he'd only come in a couple of days before, had it?
Yeah. He wasn't really playing for
no. So we definitely thought, we said on the first half of the commentary how he settled in.
Yeah, Adam just said to me, he said that he feels there's more to come for him because he's still getting back to match fitness, really.
Yeah. He's a good catch as well. He's a good guy, he's slightly right.
Well, he's had quite a lot of experience from the actual professional leagues, hasn't he? Was he Chelsea? Was he originally Chelsea?
Yeah, he went to Wolves as well after that.
Did he know Callum?
No.
But it's great to have some of that experience, and you can tell the younger lads look up to him, you know, especially being on the buses sometimes. And then on Saturday we had the frustrating 0-0 draw. Battle of King George's Field. It was a. And me and Pete surrounded by kids shouting Kingstonian every 2 seconds on the microphone.
And then every time there's a foul by the way.
Off.
You know, little squeaky voices right by us.
That's the only thing about being
and
in
a
press box.
An old bloke by us who wouldn't stop tapping me on the shoulder, trying to sort of get the team sheet or trying to.
So if anyone had listened at the end of the broadcast, I was wrapping it up with Pete and he comes and tries, oh, give me 2-3 minutes on the air. And I was like, no, it's going off air. No time for that, because literally, Pete seems to attract them every game. He's got even at Woodside, he gets someone trying to chat to him when he's on air, like in front of him. And I don't know who he is, but he's a long fan. It's,
I can be on my own on a bus, and every other seat is empty, and nothing gets on anymore.
It's the Midlands, that's what it is.
I think in the circumstance, when you look at it, obviously, Folkestone lost.
Yeah.
We were playing against 10 men, so there's 2 disappointments there that we didn't extend our lead at the top. However, it was tough to play, it was windy, and they were kicking lumps out of us every 2 minutes.
Yeah.
The ref was whistle happy. It was
when he remembered it.
I was hoping at the start of the day, I think we all expected Folkestone to pick up 3 points and win game.
Yeah.
And we would then have to win our game to even just not even take another point. Do you know what I mean? Be a further point ahead of Folkestone. So I would have taken a draw.
Absolutely.
You take a point, yeah.
It's one less game. It's one less game to play.
Yep.
And you've extended your lead to the top, so everyone should be happy. We do that 10 more times for champions. So.
And the good thing is they've still got to go to Kingstonian. Folkestone still got to play them at their ground. So they play like that against them.
Hornchurch.
So at least they got them. We got them. I mean, I think.
Folkestone still got to play Cray as well.
There's a lot of matches. We've kind of, apart from Hornchurch, I mean, Enfield are going to be
Enfield
a bit of a challenge.
Leatherhead is always a tough game going there.
If the water subsided on their pitch at the moment, I've seen those pictures. Yeah, it's like a bog. Hopefully it dries out a little bit, but yeah, I know the pictures on it the other day was awful, absolutely awful.
But it is funny though, because the 2 games we lost, Cray and Folkestone, 2 teams that have got a centre forward with a 20 goal plus players a season, so it shows you what a difference that can make in a tight game.
Yeah,
got one sniff of goal, both of those goals were late goals. So, one chance.
And the Folkestone one took a couple of deflections as well. The wind again didn't help. Carl got a hand to it, hit the post, it could have bounced out, you know. Yeah.
It was so unlucky, it was so frustrating.
It was a lucky goal to concede.
And this weekend we got Potters Bar, and obviously we're recording this before the weekend, so we'll say we won. Yeah, 3 points in the bag, yeah.
And
it'll be published, so I can't edit it out. So, yeah, fingers crossed. Folkestone lost again, yeah. So, all in all, what would we say about the month? Frustrating, but not too bad for the amount of games we had in the month, I think.
Fair summary. Runs are always going to be tough, especially when you're at the top, everyone wants to beat you. I think the position we're in now, there's only 10 games left. You just got to keep taking it game by game.
And teams now are coming here, or even when we go there, they're just sitting back, getting bodies behind the ball, because they know we've got goals all over the pitch. So it is difficult to break teams down.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how the boys react to this scenario as well, because a lot of them, this is new to them in terms of a scenario, and being so far kind of 6 points clear at the top, how are they going to deal with it, what's the expectations, are they going to kind of buck under the pressure? It'll be interesting to find out. Obviously, it relies a lot on Buddy and Parso to kind of lead from their experience as well. Jesse maybe with Chelsea, but yeah, it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah,
and I think a special mention to Finn Stevens as well. Mm. I think
he's stepped up.
He's come on amazingly well.
He's stepped up so well.
Interestingly, talking to his mum, she's seen a different side of Finn since he's been at the club as well. He's almost come out of his shell. The banter from her point of view, he's kind of learned from that. He's grown as a human being, which has been. A lot of that is down to Hinge as well, by trusting him and getting him into the first team.
You see his confidence in the bar, like he used to be very shy, but he even sort of says hello to now, when a couple of months ago he might not have done that. So obviously and it's great. And I think if he's playing well and he's being recognised by the people and the fans are just saying to him the odd pat on the back in the bar, it's obviously going to be a massive morale boost.
Well, you got to see him on the coach as well.
Did you?
Brightling Sea.
And your little solo.
His mum could not believe that.
Really?
She was like, he sang on the camera. Yeah. And I said, I've got the clip.
It was brilliant.
Couldn't believe it. Said he would never have done that 12 months ago.
And I think that with that coach journey, bearing in mind it was January and Sam wasn't there, but it's the first time I've been on, like obviously I've been to many away games with other football clubs, but you never go on the coach with the players and the club, and everyone was such on high spirits through was that the first time we were top of the league as well for a while? Was that when we actually, or did we gain three Don't points know. Or 5 points clear, I think, because of the results that day? But everyone was in such, it's just nice to see.
It was just brilliant. Everyone together, the players, the fans, together as a team as one.
That's non-league football, isn't it? It's non-league football.
Just going back to Finn as well, just on the results for the recent Player of the Month for the association. He came third, Finn, which is a big achievement for him.
Massive.
Carl Rushworth was second, and Player of the Month was... You remember?
No. We just had the meeting. I think there was too much to talk in. I think it's too much to talk in. It was Ricky. Yeah, it was Ricky. Ricky Aguirre. But I personally think Cole, if he don't get it this month, he would have got. I think he'll get it next month. He's been brilliant. Guys, we're talking here, Barcelona. Come on. It was quite funny on Saturday. Me and Pete, when we were in the Kingstonian, obviously surrounded by Kingstonian people, and all these fans are saying, "Oh, Worthing are getting $4 million for him." I was like, "Yeah, can you imagine us getting $4 million for a goalkeeper?" Like,
He's not ours.
Yeah, it's Brighton.
It's interesting. But isn't it great for the club? It doesn't matter if it's real or not. But the fact is that Worthing FC, one of the players of the season, has been approached, or they want to sign him, and it's brought us that attention.
Yeah,
and we're
it's
in national. Probably in. Was there anything in the Spanish press? Do you guys know? Do you see any cuttings?
We were on the back page of the Daily Mirror.
Were we?
Yeah, yeah.
It's frustrating when Folkestone beat us. We would have been on the front page of the non-league paper, but bloody Folkestone went on the front of it, didn't it?
It's a lovely chance to sing behind the goal, England International. And also Barcelona scouts in the stands. Not many teams can sing that one.
Did you see any Spanish lot around the last few weeks? No.
But no one asking for tapas at the snack bar.
No, that could be next season, a new non-league offering, like a tapas bar, the Rushworth, El Rushworths. Or something like that. But all in all, going forward, I think, strong month and a successful month, and, we're 6 points. Is it five? No, 5 points. It's 6 points at the moment at the top. We're game in hand, though. So, but that's going to be a massive game for them. They're going to have to keep their cool to get anything from that. But, good month. Sorted.
Rebel Yell, the podcast. Sponsored by footyprint.co.uk. Your programmes, our passion. Hinch's Corner.
So Adam, we're going to start with last minute away win at Cole Shorten.
Yeah, I see how you picked our worst month in a long time for the start of the news. Yeah, it's obviously a real tough month, tough game, obviously down at Cole Shorten. Yeah, I think could have gone either way. They're real good sides. Peter gets them playing good football.
We did have a disagreement, didn't we? Because at the end, I said we stole it, and you went, you're watching different
games. Yeah, no, I thought we had big spells, compliment to not many teams will go to Cole Shorten and they'll sit as many people behind the ball as what they did and make it difficult. They're normally at home, they'll come at you and leave a bit more space. So. We had to be patient on the day and keep believing in what we're doing. And obviously, Finn popping up with a goal. Massive for him. there's lots of positives, and we kept going, showed that endeavour that we've sort of shown all season, really. Yeah, Ricky done great to get his body in between. I think he knew exactly what he was doing and knew that the challenge could come from the centre back, and clumsy challenge on him. But he's done great to put his body in between, in my opinion, and we sort of changed shape a little bit to play Danny sitting and Ricky and Jesse slightly higher. Ricky's running behind and got brought down, and obviously Lloyd dispatched it in the top corner. Yeah, it was unreal. You know, it shows a lot of nerve and character as well. You know, Dawsey just to come on and smash that away like he did. He knew it was going to be the last kick of the game, pretty much. So, yeah, good character from Lloyd as well.
And a good start to the month, really. Okay, so 4 days later, we went to Bishop Stortford.
That's the next...
That was a lovely journey.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Yeah, tough, real tough back-to-back away just games.
Just lost
Jamie Curtin, yeah. Just gone. Wasn't quick enough to get in there. He's already gone to Hornchurch. But yeah, different type of game, really. I thought on that day, we asked different roles of certain players. Wanted Finn to come inside to collect the ball a little bit more, and Jesse come out to come and get it. And I thought first half, you know, we should have, in my opinion, red and white glasses on and spectacles are see-through.
Should have been three or four,
yeah. I thought we worked the ball into the areas that we wanted to so well. Pammy had a couple of chances. There was a couple that we just didn't really work the goalkeeper enough. And that was obviously tough when you don't take your chances. And it's only 1-0 when it should be out of sight. And that's something really that, you know, this month we've not done, really. We haven't taken our chances. Games have been tight, and you've got to be clinical. And we wasn't on that day, but we was lucky enough to hold on and grind out the 1-0 win.
Yeah. Starkey got sent off.
I don't think he's been sent off before this season. Must be my influence, maybe. But no, he's playing sort of different roles. Him and Ricky have been sitting in and playing in front of the back four a little bit more. And a lot of the game has been going through them too this season. And I wouldn't say it's a dirty challenge. I think he's just, he's not a dirty player.
His second yellow, wasn't it?
The tackle on him, I think he moved the ball and the ball wasn't there, and the lad's just come straight in on his foot. Whereas Jesse's one, he's actually got the ball. Yeah. But you just can't tackle like that no more, unfortunately. And it's something that Jesse's got to learn. He's learnt the hard way. Obviously, been hell of a winter break he's had lately, and at 7 games. So he's got to learn that he can't challenge like that. And that's coming from someone who loved the challenge, to be honest. But I would have been no good this day and age. But he's just got to adapt your game. He's got to stand his feet, and he's got to learn that.
Side was some problems there, didn't they?
We had to sort of change shape. The left winger was a good player, and he's caused us some problems. Yeah, Joel was struggling a little bit on the night, so we had to make a change there, and we changed shape, went to like a back five to give us a bit more cover centrally. And I thought we looked dangerous on the counter attack, though, where they were coming at us. I think Ollie come on and he probably should have scored. In that game, we should have made the more of our chances on the counter attack as well in the second half.
Right, so we go on to home game on the 8th. Cray at home. Obviously, they're sort of in form at the moment, form team.
Yeah.
Again, another game where could have been 3-0 up.
Yeah, the game plan, we changed shape, went to a back three, and we wanted to really, the game plan that we worked on in training.
Did you start 5 minutes? Could
have 4-2-3-1. Yeah, that was just literally just to lull them into what we'd be playing, and then we changed to what we've been working on, and that's with Alex Parsons up front. And just fought with his energy, and you know, we have to at home try and go and press, and I thought we pressed really well. And yeah, we seems like same old story really, but we're getting the ball into good areas, and we've got to make the most of it. And I think that game, it could have gone either way, and probably naivety on my point of view, in terms of being at 1-1, maybe should have shut up shop a little bit. But we haven't done it all season. I don't think we've got the personnel and the players to do that. And it's not really within my nature to always want to try and play attacking and entertaining football. We get good crowds here, pay good money to come watch us play. So I try to always try and entertain. And it is frustrating, and I totally understand the frustrations from the fans when there is certain games where we don't have a shot on target. But it's not through a want of trying. We're getting the ball into good areas, and I think sometimes on the day we just don't do enough with it. Lack of the final ball or the bad decision in the final third. And you know, that's coming from a team that's one of the top goal scorers in the league. Yeah. So
That was the first defeat since October 5th, so he couldn't be too disappointed.
No, yeah, I was...
And it was last minute as well.
I was bitterly disappointed, because I thought... Yeah, exactly. I've got to be honest, like, people... Like some of the comments and stuff were, it's going to happen. It's all about how we responded after the defeat, and you know, I just thought it was a negative outlook on it. Really, I didn't want to look like that. I, you know, wanted to stay in a good vein of form. And I thought we are playing well. We are one of the better teams in the league. The way we have been performing, you don't want to. You just focus on that next game, and you want to try and win that next game. So you don't want to like just focus on what's gone on previously. You know, it's. All about the next game for us, and you know, being on a good run, being on a bad run, you still focus on that next game. So
there was a throw in on the far side, which was a Worthing ball. Pushed up the pitch because I thought it was our ball.
Yeah.
And then they're throwing it to
Taylor. On that day, really, I think there's a couple of mistakes from our two centre halves that have been, I think, you know, again, you know, I believe in the players, but I think as a partnership, they could go on to be one of the best partnerships in the league as a centre half partnership.
Yeah.
I think they've got everything. They can play out from the back, they're comfortable with the ball, they can do the defensive side, which I think they showed second half at Lewis. That they have got that grit and determination.
Well, Andy Crawford again before.
He was class in that game. So, you know, it was a couple of mistakes that we probably haven't been making.
Yeah.
And we have been taking our chances the other way. So, I think if it was a game that you absolutely got dominated in and, you know, the goals come through us having a bad shape and getting... or playing up from the back and getting caught or whatever, then you know, could have been. You can look and analyse it, but I think it's just a couple of mistakes on the day. I thought we quite clearly come off, like you say, the striker, but I didn't realise Alfie got round in such a good position, and he's letting the lad come inside where he got a show him down the line. It just cuts off the angle. The minute he comes inside, he opens up the whole goal, and he can slot it in. Whereas I think there's one similar first half. Aaron Sheen showed him down the line, and Cole's made a save. He's got more of the goal he can cut off by showing him down the line. So, yeah, it's a little bit of defensive work there from Alfie that he got to learn from and get better at. And that's the good thing that all of us are trying to learn and improve from each game and in each goal.
And the thing was, there was no time to respond.
No, that's it. And it was game over. And, you know, it was like they'd won the FA Cup final. And I think full testament to the squad of players that we've got, that teams... feel like that when they come here and win games. You know, it's massive for them. Same with Folkestone, and that photo of Folkestone in the non-league paper has really been grating on me massively.
I can imagine this.
Rebel Yell, the podcast. Five questions.
Jasper Pattendon, winger.
If it wasn't for football, what other job would you do?
Quite fancy myself as a barber. No, I just think it's like everyone's always going to need a barber. There's never going to be a time where someone's not going to need a haircut. I think it's quite fun. It's quite a social job, isn't it? I mean, I like to keep mine fresh, so I'll keep everyone else's fresh if I have to.
What is your favourite holiday destination?
Croatia. Croatia's lovely. I've been there. Went there last year and I'm going there again this year. It's unbelievable. Places, the architecture there, always love it. The beach is unbelievable. And the water's always warm in the summer, so no matter what.
What is your favourite food?
Oh, I love a fillet steak. Oh, fillet, yeah. A little fillet steak with mushroom gratin. It's a bit of me, that is, yeah.
What is your favourite song?
Quite into my house music at the moment. I'm listening to a bit. Oh, what? That's a difficult one. Probably have to go with a guy called Yavan. It's called Fly Away. It's quite good. It's more of an R&B sort of vibe, but it's a decent tune.
Tell us something about yourself that may surprise people.
A bit of a unit in the gym. Fancy it in the gym. Oh, I haven't deadlifted in a while. I like to be in the gym all the time, and I don't know if people know about that or see, but I do love the gym, and so I love to get myself in the gym, and I fancy myself as a bit of a gym beast.
Sponsored by footyprint.co.uk. Your programmes, our passion. Pete's away days.
Start of the month was obviously Carl Shorten, which was nice ground. What was it called? War Memorial Stadium?
No idea. Look at me like I know. I have no idea, mate. No idea. I was there when the sat nav takes me.
Yeah, but that was a nice non-league ground. First time I'd been there. Thought of a nice big bar.
Has got very nice bar at
Carshalton. Yeah. Up there for me is probably the nicest ground that we go to, to be honest with you. Carshalton. Yeah, I'm a big fan of it. Really nice pitch. Nice people.
Most of the grounds
undercover,
isn't it?
Yeah.
It looked nice from the like, views and everything like that. It did look good.
Yeah, it's good.
And then obviously we was at Bishop Stortford. Yeah. That was that's a hell of a journey to do midweek. Mm. Obviously we had two postponements before. And then you've got to go on a Tuesday night. I think 1:20 I got in the morning.
Wow. Yeah.
So that was that was a long old afternoon, and the coach was 3:15. So that was a long old day. Yeah. But we got the points. It always makes the journey just that little bit easier when you come home. Ground wise, they've got two nice covered stands, and the main stand, which is nice and high. I do like a high stand when we're commentating.
Yeah, it's not easy to see
what's going on around the pitch. And the good thing is as well, you can suss out the formations that teams are playing, which obviously gives us an edge on the commentary side of things. I don't know about it for yourself.
Yeah, well, you know.
you haven't got a microphone.
I haven't got a microphone, Pete. It's yours.
So, and then obviously, was it King George's Field Saturday?
Lewis.
I forgot Lewis.
Yeah. That was a nice ground.
It's a very nice
Lewis,
ground.
The Dripping Pan. It was my first visit to Dripping Pan. Very impressed with it. I like the two high banks behind the goal. Mm-hmm. A bit of a pain when you want to go for a wee.
Yeah, it's all
right at the top. Right at the top of that stand.
I think you were sat as well. You were just to the right of me. Yeah.
It's a good view
from up there.
Yeah, it's a good view. It's a good view.
You didn't find the executive pool, Lou?
No. No, I didn't.
There was an executive quarterly behind the court.
But second half, it's called a bush. After the laptop gate, we had to abort the commentary and go and join the away boys in the other stand. Yeah. And we didn't actually realise how bloody cold it was and windy. Because we was in the main stand first half. But yeah, nice view. I think the only thing they need to do is improve their press tables there, because they spring up quite easily. Yeah. Anyone touches them, it's bing, and all your equipment goes vroom.
The thing is, I don't even think if you were sitting there with just normal like notepad and everything like that, if someone done that, they'd come flying anyway.
Okay, can I add in a couple of minus points? No burgers.
No, it's a hipster ground.
Pie and mash.
Pie and
mash
is not easy food to eat.
You know,
I quite like the idea of pie and mash.
Hipster ground. You know, well, just the fact there's no burger and chips, and you can't get a proper pint of lager.
And beer and McDonald's.
It's all like craft beer.
It's important, Stu.
Sure.
Craft beer and a McDonald's paper cup.
Yeah,
yeah.
It doesn't quite work.
Plastic cup. Paper cups. Yeah.
Yeah. Dripping Pan.
I think we had Starbucks in the change room. Oh, really? Might have Starbucks versus as well, but yeah, Starbucks cups in the change room.
I've seen a lot of people talk about the Dripping Pan online on non-league grounds and all the rest of it on Facebook, and everyone's sort of 8, 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
But for me, the ground wise, the way it's set out, it'd definitely be an 8 or 9 out of 10. But because of the food and drink situation,
I've got it down to an average six.
If you were there for a Saturday 3:00 kickoff, it's got some very nice views over the stand.
It's got some nice views, no doubt. But 6 out of 10 for me.
What was the mash like?
I thought you said the match.
I was there.
I know. I saw you. I spoke to you. The mash was okay, actually. The pie was okay. The mushy peas were cold. There you go. That's another point deduction. Yeah. That's 5 out of 10.
Peagate now as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he was moaning about it.
You are a typical northerner, aren't you? You don't stop moaning.
I'm a Midlander, not a northerner.
Oh, I see.
Northern. Yeah. Everything from Worthing's north.
No, Midlander. Thank you very much. And then Saturday was Kingstonian. King George's Field. Third visit there or fourth. It's not one of my favourites. No, to be honest. No disrespect to Kingstonian or Corinthian casuals.
Well, it's Corinthians ground.
Yeah, because I do
like
the Corinthians.
Very, very tight. Well, I don't think they've got a budget.
Corinthians don't have a budget. So
they don't have a budget.
Yeah, in terms of the ground maintenance budget,
they
are supposed to do what they can.
No player budget. But yeah, I think the changing rooms are like what do you call them?
Containers.
Very cold.
Or a porter cabin or something. Nice. Yeah.
I don't care what the ground looks like as long as we pick up 3 points.
No, it
could be a playing field as long as we go over 3 points.
It's good to go around these grounds and then compare it to ours and pick up pointers and what we can
get
there.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Rebel Yell, the podcast. Pinch's Corner.
So 15th,
their
home game.
Yeah, 1400. Yeah, unreal support. Noise that day was electric. It felt like a league game, to be honest, like a League Two type of counter. Yeah, exactly. That's what it felt like. That only playing a few games that I did at League Two, it did feel like that kind of atmosphere. The crowd, jumping behind the goal. It was. Relentless noise, and it did spur us on. And again, another game where we're 5 points clear at the top, and the game's 0-0 with 10 minutes to go. Looking back, hindsight is a wonderful thing, but maybe you do shut up shop and see out that 0-0 and keep it at 5 points. But I don't think it's in our nature. Like I say, we haven't been doing that all season, and I think we're a team that's got to be on the front foot and got to be pressing. We all our focus was on winning the game, and it always is. I don't set out to draw games. Much prefer to go for the win, and you get more points.
And like I said, friendly is from the end again. No time to respond.
Yeah, really. No, that's it. They calm and sat in a little bit. I think we've done well against Folkestone in the past, where they felt they could really take the game to us, and it's been quite open and we've had lots of space, whereas the last two times this season I think they've been a little bit more cautious. Sat in a little bit, obviously down their place. It was two very bad goals from long balls, which we didn't deal with at all. Straight long balls. Not many of that back three are at the club still, so that says it all really. But we've got to do better there. But here, I thought it was, again, it's difficult. Teams come in and do make it difficult for us. You have to pay them compliment. They look at the way we play and try and come up with a game plan to stop us playing. And whether that's pressing us high or whether that's dropping off, and it's difficult. We're always trying to find solutions and ways of breaking teams down. And like I say, didn't create nowhere near enough. I think we had one shot on target on the day, and that was a disappointing thing. I thought we got the ball again. There's one where Miki pulls it wide and cuts in with his right foot. He's going with the wind, you've got to hit the target. And there's a couple of other chances going first half where you just got to hit the target and make the keeper save it. And we didn't make enough of that on the day. It was disappointing, but I'd say hindsight, maybe you shut up shop and you keep that distance between us. But wasn't to be, and
it is what it is.
Yeah.
Obviously, two back-to-back defeats at home as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're kicking the
whatnot
after such a
game.
How
definitely.
How do the players respond to that?
I think we come in.
The mood after.
Yeah, we come in Tuesday, and just try to tell them, there was good performances, but I felt what we worked on that Tuesday after them two games was us being more positive. So when we worked the ball into the final third, I wanted players then to be brave to try and take players on and have positive action going forward rather than just keeping possession. Yeah. To keep possession, to get it to the final third. Once you're in the final third, then you need to go and try and beat your man. You need to try and work a shot of goal. Yeah, and that was
passed back by a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we're working the ball into good areas, and ultimately then it's down to our front players or fullbacks that are pushing on to then go and beat the players, and you know that's what we're doing it for. And I thought we'd done that really well on Wednesday against Lewis, yeah, especially first half.
I was going to ask you before we get to the Lewis game. I was praying Folkestone. Both of them had a play, Ira Jackson and Taylor. 20 goals plus this season.
Yep.
Makes a heck of a difference to it.
Yeah, of course
and
it does.
Given one chance,
yeah.
It seems to be in the back of the net.
Yeah.
And I don't think Ira's was a brilliant chance.
No.
It looked like he deflected the
yeah, yeah. Late. Just kept it on target, didn't he? And Carl was probably unlucky with it. Yeah, that's it. And yeah.
Is it something we lack? I know we've got our goals spread around the team.
Yeah.
Do you think we're lacking a 20 plus goal a season?
Possibly. I mean, like I say, it's...
We sort of hoped, as fans, that Dawson's going to come in and be that man.
Yeah.
And it hasn't quite worked for him. The injury is whatnot.
No, that's, yeah, I think... I think any sort of club, you know, you're looking, aren't you, to start the season, who's going to be your man that gets you 20 goals plus? And you know, we haven't had that this season for whatever reason. Like I say, one or two injuries and one or two out of form and things like that. But, yeah, it's... Yeah, I think that is the big difference. I think our form against the top teams is not brilliant. And that's one of the reasons. There's no hiding it. You don't get many chances against the top teams. And you've got to be ruthless, a bit more cutthroat. And we haven't. Again, Saturday, Kingstonians, 0-0. They'd be disappointed that they haven't won. And I thought Miki's had a good chance second half. All lights on his left foot. Got to hit the target, not hit the target. Yeah. The ball's got square to Alex Parsons and it's gone, you know, far over the bar. Not hit the target again. And that is the difference. Ollie Pierce has had one first half, hit it straight into the side netting. I think Ricky's had one inside the box. And, you know, you're counting four good chances there. And I don't think, apart from Ricky's one, you've hit the target. And that is...
Just checking me out.
Yeah.
I did write it down Saturday. I think we had five off target. We actually had four on target.
Yeah. I mean, just
to keep standing.
Yeah.
As many attempts.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, obviously we're going away from home, but they have had 10 men as well for a long part of that game. So
you
expect to. I just don't. I thought, obviously, going on to Kingstonians, which skipped a couple of games here, my fault, but
it's only Lewis
again. Lewis was a good performance, and we try to keep everything the same and implement the same things that we did at Lewis, but for whatever reason, I think the players looked a little bit tired, to be honest. Heavy pitch on Wednesday, and
that was our sixth game of this month.
Yeah, again, in hindsight, you probably weigh that up and weigh up all those games, and you go, potentially should have gone with some fresh legs maybe from the start. But, you know, stuff on. We give the players a couple of days to recover after Wednesday. It's a tough one because it played so well, in my opinion, against Lewis. To not keep the team the same would have been difficult, and wanted to try and keep the momentum going. But, you know, we did look a little bit jaded. We looked second to everything. Our work rate, they looked like they worked hard on us. They looked better on the ball.
Yeah.
And that was the biggest disappointment. I can take us not quite being there on the ball, but a team outworking us. You know, I don't tolerate that very well, to be honest. And the players will know that we can't have that happening again. You know, for all the wonderful footballers we've got this club, I think the one thing that we've done this season is probably outwork teams and just played with too much tempo and you know, our work rate, pressing and getting into working hard to get back into good shape has been the difference, in my opinion, and we've got to get back to that being the basis of where we work.
Rebel Yell, the podcast. Five questions.
Darren Budd, centre midfield.
If it wasn't for football, what other job would you do?
I
think I'll do removals, moving buddies. You can find me on Checkatrade.
What is your favourite holiday destination?
Seville. Well, I went on my honeymoon and it was really nice, so good memories.
What is your favourite food?
Squashies. Sweets. I eat a lot of squashies. Keep my energy up for all that removals I do for moving buddies.
What is your favourite song?
What's that? What's the Alex Parsons song? How's it go?
Tom and Kitten.
Tell us something about yourself that may surprise people.
I am actually average height. Yeah, I am, yeah. Look it up, yeah. 5'7", average height.
You ain't
5'7". I am 5'7", I am. 4'7". I am actually average height, I don't know why everyone's laughing.
Sponsored by footyprint.co.uk. Your programmes, our passion. Affordable, high-quality match programmes made for semi-pro, amateur and grassroots sports clubs.
That's
well,
cool.
You agreed to do this, Joe, so that's really good. And, like, you know, we couldn't have asked for a better guest to have on the first podcast. Many more to come. So last week we put out on Rebel Yell WFCSA's Twitter and Instagram page that we're having George in the studio. George Dow, our owner of Worthing FC here. We asked you to ask him any questions. He's sitting here poised and ready to go. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad, but he looks quite nervous right now.
I am.
Stu's just sitting opposite him with his feet up on the chair, just laughing. Pete's trying to contain himself, but it's nothing too bad, John, I promise you.
Well, I'll be the judge of that.
Well, let's go. So, the first question came through was at Twister87. If you know him, I don't know if you know him or anyone knows him, I don't know.
At Twister88. I don't know the at Twister87.
87, that's right. Yeah. So, maybe he got his year of birth wrong when he first said that or something like that. Or it's a fake account. So. Anyway, George, what are your plans for the future? How do you think things have gone since you've taken over the club? And how can we get more fans to attend?
Ooh, what a question.
That's a three-part question, really.
Yeah. That's a good question.
I think it's... Well, since I've come in, I think it's done well. I think the numbers and the league position that we're in now would suggest that it's in a better place now than it was when I took over. But that's not just down to me, that's down to a whole team of very committed volunteers, a few of which are in the room now. So yeah, I think it's gone well since I came in, and the plan is just to keep going forward where it is.
You started with a 5-year plan, didn't you?
This
is the fifth year?
This is the fifth year. I kind of, in my head, took out a year because of the old pitch situation, when we started the year at Bognor. So that year I kind of, in my head, discounted. So we have got next year as well in my 5-year plan. But yeah, this year, if we were to get promoted this year, it would be within the 5 years. And the plan was to get 2 promotions in 5 years. So we're on track.
You're on track. Yeah. So.
I guess going on to that, there was another question sent from the Instagram page. This one was anonymous. We don't know who it was from. But it was, if we are successful this year in your 5-year plan, have you got another 5-year plan? And what is that? Does that mean Football League?
That's always the dream. I've never been in a position where I'm going to say, right, I don't want to get promoted. So the plan would always be to grow and grow and grow. Mm-hmm. Whether that's... I mean, if we're talking realistically, if we were to get promoted this year, and we're not there yet, there's a long way to go, but if we did, or in the next couple of years, and then we were in a position in 5 years' time to be in and around a Football League position, we'd have to, I don't know, seriously look at our ground and whether it's suitable to play in League 2, and whether maybe we have to change location or what that might entail. But
I guess it's a completely different level, isn't it?
If you
look at a Football League plan, you've got to get up to national.
You've got to have a grass pitch in
League 2. I mean, there's loads of things we're going to have to get done the next season if we were to get promoted. So the ground grading always improves the higher up the leagues you go, and we'll just have to manage our grounds to match it if we can.
Yeah. So at Red Rebel Mac has said, best moment as Worthing FC owner is the best moment maybe to come in a few weeks, hopefully. So far
Well, the best moment would be the playoff final when we won the game quite comfortably in the end, but just the emotion from fans afterwards and stuff, and the pitch invasion, and the celebrations were amazing.
Did we get fined for that?
We didn't. No, I guess the season was over then, they didn't care. So as soon as the final whistle went, we were fine.
Didn't get in trouble. Good.
No, I didn't get in trouble for that one. Makes a change to
So there's a username, Dotty Dar. I think it's a dog. Or it's someone that owns a dog. It's obviously not the
it's
dog.
It's a clever dog, isn't
it's
it?
It's a very clever dog. The paws are used well.
So it's a dog.
Can I come in and watch the games when I'm a bit older? And when can I get a Worthing FC dog bow and collar?
What do they mean by me?
I guess when there must be a puppy.
It must be a puppy.
Is it going to grow into a human?
Well, yeah, no. Half human, half dog. That's weird.
This season, I've
just turned up already, actually.
See for a dog.
Well, so, I guess they're saying a dog's allowed in the ground.
Our dog's allowed in.
Dogs aren't allowed in the ground purely because the amazing attendances we get, it just wouldn't. I don't think.
Not really fair on the dog, is it?
Be fair. Well, on the that's not. Yeah, might not be fair on the dog, but it's just. I don't think it's a suitable place. It's quite a busy place on match day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe the four-legged friend isn't the best place.
No. I wouldn't have thought so. No.
I mean, I don't mean you can take them to any other grounds in no. terms of like
all right.
higher up you go.
Yeah, higher up you go. Yeah.
Like, you
wouldn't
take
yeah.
a dog in the cinema.
I know there is.
Get the dog bowl sorted.
Yeah, there is a famous dog in. I can't remember what team it is, but there's a dog there every week.
Folks and they
had
the mascot, didn't they?
Is it the mascot? Yeah.
Folks had died last season.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Trust me to bring up that.
Horsham had one. They put it on their Twitter last week. Nicely, a friend who was dressed in a Horsham shirt. So I guess maybe Dotty Dar's been stalking other dogs' Instagram accounts or something.
I mean,
helping
dogs to be fine.
Yeah,
but yeah,
of course,
I think just bringing a pet along. I think you get out of hand quite quickly if everyone's bringing.
Yeah, and yeah, it's a trip hazard.
You wouldn't want that with
your skin. Oh, no. I couldn't be picking up dog poo.
No.
And it trip hazard as well for fans because you're not looking down at the ground all the time. You're walking through, and all of a sudden you're tripping over a dog.
Yeah.
Not great.
Well, I think for next season, George should look into getting a dog bowl and dog collar so Dotty Doo's happy.
Oh, we can do that,
yeah.
I'll speak to Amanda.
I reckon I'll buy a cat bowl, do a cat bowl, cat daddy.
I've got two dogs, I'll get
Yeah, collars like that, that'd be good.
It's a bit too seedy, isn't it? It's all getting a bit too seedy, isn't it?
I don't know what you're saying. Question from Instagram, thoughts on a purple coloured kit, I guess for an away kit or a third kit.
Love
that
idea.
That?
Absolutely love the idea. You exchange that for the white one, please.
Is that a bit near, I think I know who this is from.
Harchester United.
If there a nice purple kit came out, I'm sure we could.
It sounds a bit close to red though.
That's what that was being my impression,
yeah.
If you're trying to get away from red because you're playing someone in red. Wearing purple is maybe a little bit close.
Could be construed.
It's on light.
One of the other questions was, where is it here? Thoughts on a kit that could draw attention from around the world, like a third kit. You know, like there's been some teams of late that have got kits that have been sold in South America and all that.
Yeah.
So thoughts on maybe a third kit that's got a really funky design or something.
Well, like a retro 70s kit.
Yeah, like a retro one.
Sorry, George, it's your question.
I'm a big fan of kits and no, I think I always think a lime green kit catches the eye.
Yeah,
Get
a funky pattern on it, and
mackerels.
Green mackerels or something. Can you imagine that?
I don't want to bring up a club just down the road here, but
I was careful to say lime green.
lime green.
But you still said the word green.
Not green. We wipe our bums with green paper.
Yeah. I've seen you in a green top sometimes, George, and I have said to you.
Yeah. I do like khaki, though, I must say.
Yeah.
And your dad likes green as well, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That thing he's bought.
Oh, yeah, the moped thing. Yeah. I don't know what that is.
It's a midlife crisis, that's what that is, mate.
And we were talking about the ground and stuff you'd like to upgrade for next season. You'd have to do. And one question that's coming, if you could change or upgrade any part of the ground, like what would your priority be? Like, you know, in terms of the key with one, not necessarily the leagues. Stu's obviously sneezing the kit room over there. But what would you, like, if you could have, I guess he's saying, like, you've got regulations of what you have to do, but if you didn't, if you had done the regulations, you could think of the next stage, what would you be focusing on?
I guess my dream would be to want to have a fully covered stand all the way around.
Yeah.
Ground, sorry, not stand. So I guess, yeah, if the floodlights were done and the new turnstiles were built and the new toilets were done, and all that stuff.
Only a couple of things to do then.
Yeah, no, there's a lot to do and we've got plans to do and we're going to be hopefully trying to raise funds in order to make them happen for next season. So that's all quite exciting. But if all that was done and ticked off, then my next goal would be to try and get the whole ground covered.
happened. Well, the last question you'd be pleased to know, the last one that was sent in, the Easy Fundraising app that they've done at the moment, which is buying stuff through the website of Easy Fundraisers, raised, how much money has it raised, Stu, so far?
Yeah,
and that's just in the first month, isn't it? I mean, that's been fantastic. So have you got any other fundraising ideas planned?
Yeah, there's a lot going on, like I said, with the floodlights and stuff, and all that costs a lot of money. We have recently put in a funding application to the what they call it, a stadium improvement fund from the FA. So, and we're hoping that that gets granted. And if it does, then we'll be coming up with other ways to raise the other half of the funding for these events. Yeah, there'll be different events, or we've got like a. There's other things in the pipeline, but we will be looking to raise more money, hopefully to get these things done for promotion.
Well, you'd be pleased that's the last question, John. Okay. So, was there any ones that were a bit difficult? I don't think there were. You quite like that.
I've got a question.
I guess one last question was actually from obviously one of your relatives.
I've got one.
Who's the best sibling? Why am I the best sibling? I don't know. You tell me.
Why are they the best sibling?
So, have you got any brothers and sisters? How many brothers and sisters?
I've got a sister and a younger brother. So, he's too young to be.
So, it'd probably be her then, yeah.
Must be her.
Yeah.
Late night or something.
So, George, I've got a question.
Yeah.
What do you do to relax?
Apart from make cooking shows on Instagram.
That's not relaxing. That's
it's not relaxing to watch a video.
What do we do? Go to the cinema sometimes, or just chill at home, go out with my mates, which is pretty stressful at times. Just normal sort of things really. Watch football on TV.
Okay, and who's your team?
Man United would be my team.
Local one.
Well, Werbin would be my first team, obviously.
Yeah.
But if I was at home watching it on TV, then it would be Man United.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
I said enough of him, I don't want to ask any more questions, to be honest.
Boss at the end of the day. Well, thank you very much.
Rebel Yell, mate. The podcast. Pinch's Corner.
How do you feel it's gone all in all?
Yeah, obviously.
The worst moment, like you said.
Yeah, disappointed in terms of results, but like I say, performance-wise, there's been some good performances. I wouldn't say we've been battered by Cray. I wouldn't say we've been battered by Folkestone, although we probably haven't been our best. They've made it difficult, and you've got to give them some credit. They're good sides.
Seem to be sitting back against
us. Yeah.
They're all sitting back.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like, when I first come in, teams used to think Worthing's where you go to get your 3 points and come and try and attack us. And it was a lot easier then to try and pick teams off, and we played a sort of boxing midfield back then, and we can't play that way now because there's just not the space to get those two boys on the ball, which there was when teams were coming to try and attack us. So we've had to adapt shape and what suits, and every game's a different challenge and a different test, and the good opposition, good, you've got to give them a bit of credit as well, They're not all going to come and go, we're going to make this entertaining for the fans and let Worthing have it all their own way, and that's compliment to the squad of players that we got and how hard they work, that teams do that.
Okay, so at the start of the season, you said you're sitting here virtually the end of February, you'd be 6 points clear at the top of the table, would you have took it?
100%, all even now, we're on about improvement from year to year. So, we finished ninth last year with a bad end to the season. So we want to keep on improving in that. And
we've overhauled that's good improvement.
And that was the key. I looked at the points tally and wanted to beat that from last season. And I think if we keep on etching in that same vein, then we do it on the right path. It's good. I'm enjoying it. And I want the players to embrace it and enjoy it and enjoy being top of the league. I heard Hayden, his interview after the game, and he must have mentioned 6 times about Worthing being top of the league. And, so managers are saying that. And
the Lewis manager last week, I listened to his
Yeah, that's it. And so we're doing lots of good stuff. But like I say, we all we're focusing on now is we've got two training sessions before Potts Bar, and that's all our focus is going to be on.
We've only got one midweek game left, and that's the semi-final.
Oh, no. Is it really? Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got Saturday.
Yeah.
Two training sessions.
Exactly. Yeah. So flipping next. So yeah, no pressure now. It's all down to me, isn't it? No, I do enjoy that. I do enjoy it. I think, like I say,
I enjoy watching it.
Cause yeah. And I got not good for my health, is it? But enjoy being out there with the players and trying to implement new ideas and stuff like that, and seeing where we can constantly improve. And Cam coming in and the video analysis that he puts together, you know, I tell him a couple of things and then he's got it there ready for us to show the players. And I think it's such a powerful tool in terms of players seeing it for their own eyes, what we're trying to do. To be honest, like Steve Coppell used to go and make them his own and put like videos in on a Friday and just show us like the opposition and what we could come up against. So I remember playing right back and there was a winger that was right footed but played on the left hand side. So he just showed me a couple of clips of that, and you know, it's well ahead of his time. You know, what a manager, and I thought it was so powerful to see that. But yeah, we tend to focus just on ourselves. Because I think you can get wrapped up with how the opposition play, and then they can turn up at Woodside and play completely different.
Yeah,
and then all that work that you spent. So we just try and focus on ourselves and ourselves being better. And I know it doesn't always look that way, but like I say, you've got to pay your opposition some credit as well. They're trying to stop it. They're trying to get the 3 points as well. So they're trying to work hard. There's good managers, there's good players in the opposition that we're playing against. And
Fantastic.
I contacted Dulwich straight after that game, Gavin, and tried to get him in. But yeah, he said he's
stayed, didn't he?
Yeah, because Cole Shorten had an option to keep hold of him, and they did that. But he said, I've got Connor Hunt, that's a winger, and if you're looking for that type of player, that is available.
So that's how
that came about, yeah.
Okay.
It's me phoning Gavin Rose trying to sign Lewis White, to be honest. But yeah, what great player. I thought the lad Golding for Lewis was a threat.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah, he was a handful.
Yeah. So we're playing against good players, good opposition, yeah. And you know, we've got to pay them a bit of respect. We'd all like it to all go our way, but you know, it's football. We're not quite there. It's not like, I think, you know, we've had it where our board's been broken and we've had to go and borrow opposition boards. And they're like, you can't afford a ball with the amount of money your club's got. So they look at our crowds. They look at, you know, the stuff that you do with the Rebel Yell and the social media and everything. And it's like, unreal. It's above the level. And just assume that we're absolutely rolling in it. And like every club that we go to are like, think about that. And it's crazy, really. And I think it's compliment to everything that we do here at a club, that the club feels like that. But obviously, it's not the case that we have got the biggest riches in the world. Like, you can't go and just get Jake Robinson to come and lead our line and whoever, pluck a name out, you know.
Yeah.
We just haven't got the finances to go do that. I know that. And, you know, with that, you know, it has
your
its...
Your budget hasn't done since last year, has it?
No, that's what I mean. Yeah, that's it. So the expectation probably gone through the roof just because of how well the boys have been performing. And like I say, it's a compliment to them, and I want them to embrace it and enjoy it more than anything. They've worked their socks off, got themselves in a great position. Now it's Potter's Bar on Saturday, and all our focus is on that, really. So have we got Wingard? I don't even know we got off that. I know we got Brighton in the...
You were looking at game ahead.
Yeah, I'm looking at one game, Potter's Bar. Yeah, with all the other teams, you know, I know that I've got Whiteleaf on Wednesday with the under-19s, and so it is literally week by week. But nice. I feel, you know, we're really onto something good at the club.
Yeah,
with the youth set up and everything, the young boys that we've got coming in, we're still doing it our way. We're having 4 or 5 teenagers start week in, week out. Not a lot of other clubs do that way.
I better go.
Yeah, get back to you. Right,
cheers, Adam.
Nice. Pleasure, mate.
That's been brilliant.
No, I enjoyed that. Same again next month.
Yeah. Hopefully after.
Rebel Yell, the podcast. Five questions.
Alex Parsons, right midfield.
If it wasn't for football, what other job would you do?
Can you class this as a job? I'd be playing another sport. Rugby, yeah. Give rugby a go. I used to run around a little bit and try and miss a tackle.
What is your favourite holiday destination?
Italy, 100%. A little place called Salerno where the family are from. Try and go there every year. LA. Los Angeles, actually. It's a good place, yeah. No, Los Angeles.
What is your favourite food?
Pasta, 100%. Just normal pasta with tomato sauce. Easy.
What is your favourite song?
Do you know what? This is quite bad, actually. At the moment, Ariana Grande, Monopoly, it's getting played. I don't know why. It's on my Spotify. I might blame the girlfriend for that one, but...
Tell us something about yourself that may surprise people.
Not too long ago, I was a plumber. Yeah, plumber, yeah. Done my plumbing apprenticeship, which a lot of people don't know about. Or my dad. Worked for my dad, done my plumbing apprenticeship quite a few years ago. So, yeah. When I say that, people, they're like, oh, really? But, yeah.
Rebel Yell, the podcast.
Start that one again.
We grill through a little bit. Pete did the interview for the played out on the Folkestone game, but I think it's time to grill Stu.
Folkestone.
He thinks he's all frosted.
It's Folkestone. It's not Folkestone.
Stu, just tell us about yourself, like a little bit for the podcast. We've got playing a bit of an interview for some of the other questions, but just tell us about yourself and how you came to be with Worthing.
I emailed George out 6 years ago. Obviously the club was on, I think it was the promotion winning season, and I said to him, have you got any jobs that I could do around the ground just to help out and be part of it? And he knew some friends of mine, and they said, look, he's been in sales, and could you come in and look after the commercial side? And it's kind of gone on from there, really. Kind of moved from the commercial side over to the first team, and then match days, and now back to commercial team, match days and commercial, so.
And it's a busy thing, but are you enjoying it? That's all we
want to know. Yeah, believe it or not, I do enjoy it. It's stressful as hell.
You've got to say yes with the owner there.
Yeah, I'd say
nobody does his mind to me.
Yeah, exactly. No, I do. I do enjoy it. It's stressful. It's really stressful. On a match day, it's just constant. You'll see me running around the ground. Yeah. There's always something to do. And obviously, we've got so many things we need to get done on match days from the kind of FA want us to get done and make sure it's in place. So make sure they're happening. But it's got a lot easier over the last probably 2 or 3 months since we've got volunteers to come in and take some of the workload off me. And it's running a hell of a lot better. So yeah, it's good.
Brilliant. So we're going to play out your interview now for the fans to see that they didn't hear it for the Folkestone game.
Folkestone.
I got told off for putting the wrong name on the Twitter account. I missed out on
it. How do you say it, George?
Folkestone.
Folkestone. Folkestone. Sam does the same. Folkestone. It's like what?
Folkestone. Apologies, noise boys.
Got a full time job. How do you adapt your work time?
Tell people what you do for the job.
Bizarre, but I design and sell children's play areas, councils, attractions, and done that for about 11 years. But it allows me to be a bit more flexible in terms of my working hours. So I'm not self employed, I work for a company, but pretty good in knowing what I do for the club in terms of they give me that flexibility in terms of being here when I need to be and stuff like that. Yeah, that's what I do. So
what's involved with being a kit man? Obviously, I know you get to the grounds early.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not so much just a kit. I mean, I obviously do quite a lot around the ground, which is fantastic. I love the club. Head up match days alongside Dave Dow, making sure the ground and everything's ready for well. But in terms of the kit man, it's just making sure that we, as a management staff, I include Hinch and everyone along those lines with that, Cam, Nath, give the boys the best possible starting platforms for them to go out on the pitch and perform. So that means the change room set up before they get to the ground, home and away, unless it's Bishop Stalford on a Tuesday night when I walk up on the coach. But to make sure the ground, home and away, set up and everything's kind of prim and proper for them. They get the Luke Says, the Jaffers, the fruit, everything they need to be able to get out on that pitch and do what they can do, give us the best they can, really. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but
I understand you actually put your hand in your own pocket.
Yeah, no, well, as I say, the club means a lot to me, and I've done that for a couple of years now, and it to me it's just something that my little bit towards players in terms of getting them to perform. So
now you're back to commercial management.
Yeah,
you know, we had the sponsors evening not very long ago.
Yeah,
how sort of that role developed for you, and is it working?
Yeah, it's going really well. The good thing about the community in Worthing is we've got some really passionate football fans, but also passionate people about the town as a whole, and it's like a little community. So we've got over 100,000 people within Worthing, which, if you think about the people that turn up to a game on a match day, if it's 1,000 people, there's still 99,000 people out there that aren't here. So it's about getting into that community and trying to see what we can do to get out there and get our name out there and the brand of Worthing more kind of commercially realised as a big club, which it is. It's definitely is. And yeah, I mean, the commercial role is just kind of something that George wanted me to take on board again because it worked so well the last time. Myself were living anyway, which helps. I'm passionate about the club. Again, that helps. And since I've taken over, it's gone really, really well. So yeah, there's still, we've got targets we want to do internally. I'm striving, I'm trying to get there as quick as I can, really. So
okay, there's a lot of stuff going on around the club at the moment. Obviously top of the league as well, there's a big buzz about that. So I saw you at Horsham get quite excited when we won that game. because you want to be setting up.
It's just a little personal thing. I mean, at the end of the day, what will be will be. I'm a great believer in that, but yeah, ideally I want to get to the Amex and set up a kit at the Amex. And I am a Brighton season ticket holder, even though I don't support Brighton, funny enough. But I used to go with my mates all the time to have a few beers, if I'm being brutally honest. So it'd be nice to get out there and have a walk around the pitch and just kind of take the whole day in, really, as a kit man. But look, it'll be what it'll be. The boys are fully focused to get out there and to get to the final. We've got a hard semi-final coming up. We've just got to do what we can do.
So. Would you prefer Brighton or Bognor?
Bognor, if I'm being honest, yeah. I think Bognor, to be our biggest rivals in the semi-final, but the main competition in Sussex would be a massive one. But we get who we get and we beat who we beat. I mean, all I can say is the boys will be giving 100% to whoever we get in the semi-final and they're fully focused to get there. So it doesn't matter who I want, it's just me. We just need to get there as quick as we
can. I understand Jesse Starkey is available for that.
Yeah, I didn't realise that either. No, it's good. Jesse's massive for the football club. He's a top bloke, first of all, but he's a massive player as well, and he's going to be really missed over the next 7 games. He's a good footballer. He works hard. He's technically probably one of the best we've got out there. So if we can get him back for the cup semi-final, that'd be fantastic. But then again, there's players there that over the next 6 games will have kind of earned their right to be in there. But at the end of the day, if someone else gets there and performs in that Jesse's role over the next 6 games, then they've earned their right to play in the semi-final. So it's not all about Jesse Starkey, but it's massive to have Jesse back. And
he's my player of the season so far, to be honest.
It's been phenomenal. I mean, there's a lot out there that have been really good. I mean, even the guys that don't go unnoticed, really, the guys that are kind of just workhorses. I mean, even Cal before he left, I mean, he's just there's workhorses out there. And what we've got out there at the moment is a really close-knit bunch of players that are really dedicated to the club, to the badge, to Hinch. And when they trust Hinch and they know what he's trying to do, they want to play for Hinch, which is massive. And yeah, that's all you can ask for. And there's probably about 15 players of the seasons out there so far. Try to find out who's up winning one at the end of the season.
I will mention Finn, because I think Finn's been brilliant since he's broke into the team. He's probably 8 stone when he's soaking wet. And
Finn's he's a nice kid as well. I mean, he's got good parents. He's been brought out the right way, which is massive. When he came into the club, he was quite quiet, but he's really coming out of his shell now. He's a top lad, and yeah, he's been playing really well out there. He's almost made that fullback position his own. But he's naturally a central midfielder, which is fantastic. He can just play wherever we ask him to play. You've seen him this season at right back, at left back, at centre mid. He's just tenacious, really good player. So yeah, it's one for the future. We've got so many good young players out there that are wanting to kind of burst into the first team. It's just getting there, isn't it? So.
Yeah, and it's a great ethos by Adam as well, isn't he? Bringing these youngsters through, giving them a chance. Dylan Jelly, Tom Chalet, just to name two.
Yeah, no, it's phenomenal. There's no other club like it in Sussex. That's what within further than Sussex, to be honest with you. That's why we get so many young guys wanting to come and play here, because they know they get opportunity. And George's kind of ethos when he bought the club, he wanted to promote young talent within Sussex. It makes us easier as a club to manage, because we haven't got to get people coming from London and Kent to come play for us, and because they're Sussex bred, born and bred, they're more passionate about the shirt. So yeah, it's exciting. It's very exciting.
Do you know much about the other teams, the under 18s and the 16s?
I don't get to see them as much as I want to be honest with you. Sunday mornings where they play tend to be when I'm playing football myself, or attempting to. So
you're still playing?
Yeah, trying to, struggling massively, but I'm trying to. Yeah, they're just, again, we've obviously here at training, seeing the sessions, there's some good young talent out there, there really is. And They can't ask for better coaches, with the likes of Azza and Hinch and Julian Barnes and Matt and the rest of the coaching staff. Nathan, exactly. Yeah, I mean, there's probably about 7 or 8 coaches I can read off there. We've got some really good coaches here, so they've got everything they need to be able to get into the first team or into the 18s, and it's down to them at the end of the day. They've got to kind of fight their way there and get there as quick as they can.
Yeah, because Nurse's Ty was getting selected, well, on the bench quite a bit last season. He hasn't been on the bench as much this season because obviously Adam's brought a couple of players in. Came on the other night, he's sort of broke back into that bench position.
Exactly. I mean, Ty's got massive talent. He's a good central midfielder, tenacious, good with the ball. He's really good. But I mean, not just Ty. There's obviously, you just said Tom Gillet, Dylan Jelly. I mean, it shows on Tuesday night. Even though the result didn't go to plan, the players that were out there were more than capable of winning that game. And that's a lot to be said for Hinch and the coaching staff, because they're 16-17 and he's given them the time and time on the pitch to kind of push their way into the first team and get there. And the squad was strong enough on Tuesday night to win it. We just didn't get the result. We didn't turn up, and it is what it is. But yeah, it's looking bright. The future's looking bright.
What's the feeling at the end of the game against Cray to lose in that manner?
Yeah, obviously I can't say too much. I don't want to go against what Hinch is saying in change room, but the boys were gutted. I mean, I think we did enough to win the game
easily.
First half, we had enough chances, and I think that's the thing that's been annoying me most this season, if I'm being honest, is we're getting to really good places on the pitch, and the final ball's just awful, and we're not being as clinical and as steady as we can be in the final third. And I know the quality's out there, the boys, the talent's immense. I don't think they outworked us. They just took their chances, really, to be honest with you. And we got sloppy for a couple of goals, which obviously didn't help situations, but the boys realised that, and it was going to happen at one point. And yeah, exactly, the referees didn't help. The
referee was not very good.
We get that. That's football. Can't blame the referee all the time. I mean, I think Jesse was over the ball. He's probably not, maybe a bit harsh, but I can see why the red card came out, in my opinion. You're going to get that. It's just, that's this level of football. And even up to the Premiership, you see decisions every week that are kind of a bit questionable. Even with VAR, you see that. So the boys have just got to be focused and go out and do what they do. They're capable of beating anybody in this league. That's just been seen for the rest of the season previously.
Is there any relief in any way that the winning run is over?
No, it hurt. It really hurt. I didn't want to speak to anybody at the end of the game, and I hate losing. I'm too used to winning. But that's a bad thing. Sometimes you've got to handle defeat, and the boys have got to handle defeat and know how to react to that. We're always going to lose at some point, but look, it is what it is. We've just got to push forward.
Away from the pitch, anything you can tell us that's happening around the ground, things like that?
Yeah, of course. It's phenomenal. I must say, in my 6 years here, this is the most positive I've been since I've been here. The club's really striving in the right direction off the pitch to get ourselves ready for National League. Whether it happens this season, whether it happens the season after, we're fully focused on getting ourselves prepared off the pitch. We've got a really dedicated group of people behind the scenes that are really focused, driven by Barry Hunter, who's been a breath of fresh air since he's come in, and really focused. There's lots of things going on. Just can't go too much into it. It's looking good in terms of the pitch. But other things, permission's gone in for floodlights, gone in for the new toilet block, which is taking its time. I'm a bit frustrated by that because I actually found the sponsor who was going to do that whole toilet block for us August, September last year, I think. It was really early doors, and unfortunately, due to planning permission, we have become a bit frustrating, but it's what it is. I don't want to build it and then have to take it down again. Again, it's looking good there, so we've got the sponsorships going really well. Obviously, we need more, always need more. If anybody, businesses out there, that's what I'm here for. It's a real good community feel here with the sponsorships.
Do you want to give everyone your email address so they can contact you directly?
Yeah, perfect. It's just commercial@worthingfc.com. If you see me walk around the ground, I mean, if there's anybody that's got any questions for me around the ground, just say hello and ask me. Might be some stuff I can tell you. Might be stuff I don't know because I don't get told everything. There's probably a lot of stuff I don't get told, to be honest with you.
And if we lose, he'll just grunt at you and we'll buy. But yeah, generally, like, before the game, he's fine.
Yeah, I don't like losing. It's unfortunate. It's a habit I've got into that we've won so many games. It's a good habit. Sorry, it's not a good habit, but it's a good place to be that you're disappointed with losing. I've just got to deal with it like a man. Man up.
So, Stuart, thank you ever so much for your time.
Thank you.
Five questions.
Carl Rushworth and goalkeeper.
If it wasn't for football, what other job would you do?
Quite difficult because I've always been in and around football my whole life and I've been addicted to sport, so it'd be something in and around sport, maybe coaching or something.
What is your favourite holiday destination?
Somewhere warm, maybe Spain or Greece or anything like that, so I can get a tan.
What is your favourite food?
Homemade meat and potato pie from my mum.
What is your favourite song?
I'm into a bit of Drake right now, to be fair. I do like Life is Good, Drake.
Tell us something about yourself that may surprise people.
I don't like mash, but I like chips and everything else. It's just the texture of mash I don't like. But yeah.
Rebelyell.live.
Come to the edge of the box to Finn. Finn, try a shot. Yes, it's deflected. and Finn Stevens has his first goal for Worthing. So he scores with the spot up against Clayton. Yes! It's in! It's in! We have stolen it! We have absolutely stolen this game! He didn't quite get there. There's going to be a hit from Aguilar. Yeah! Come on! And that's the goal! Oh! Ricky Aguilar again! Ricky Aguilar right on the stroke of half time. Got it on the edge of the box. Hit it right footed. Straight into the corner of the net. Trinkle toes.
Great.
Jasper in.
Yeah!
Jasper takes the shot. And that's 1-0. 1-0. Right footed shot into the corner. Well set up by Lloyd Dawes. Worthing 1. Chesant 0.
It's his first goal for Worthing, and that is 1-0. And we needed that, Pete.
Made some space for himself. He was right for it, actually. Ended up in the bottom corner.
Great piece of play there by Connor Hunt.
Match day in association with Gage Master. Rebel Yell, the podcast. Sponsored by footyprint.co.uk. Your programmes, our passion. Affordable, high-quality match programmes made for semi-pro, amateur and grassroots sports clubs.
Yeah, it's important that we just kind of pick up these results as we're going on playing well.
Yeah, values the crowd and make sure the players understand how important it is that, and the fact the fans that we get and how we should respect.
And there's no one that hurts more than Hinch when we... We lose all.
Oh, and we've seen it ourselves.
He disappeared, he stormed out.
Yeah, we've seen it. Like, you know, the folks that gave him wasn't around much, and obviously he went on the coach on Saturday. You know, he was really gutted, as we all were. And, you know, I think it's everyone. You just, it's so close, you just feel.
Well, even Saturday.
It's touching distance, isn't it? Yeah.
Even Saturday, picking up a point, he went into change room, said a couple of things, and went straight away. There was, do you know what I mean? He was really angry and frustrated.
He sat on the coach on his own.
he affects him really badly and affects everybody.
He's a born winner.
Yeah, 100%. And that does get the boys rub off of that. And you know what I mean? Yeah. They do take that on into account. They don't like losing, trust me. So she really got into the changing room full time. Jesus Christ.
It scares me when I interview him.
I don't even go to the changing room full time.
So we think Wingate and Finchley, what do we reckon? Mr. Rebelyell.live, what are you thinking? What's the score? What do you think?
Like I say, the only games I think are real potential banana skins, I think. 7 of the 10 games we should win comfortably. Well, maybe not comfortably, but we should win them. Hornchurch, Enfield and Horsham are the three banana skins that I'm...
Your expectation worries me slightly.
But all the other games, looking at the games we've got left...
On paper, the
other 7 are well winnable in my eyes.
Yeah, I think the important thing to realise is though that they're still young lads.
Yeah, so they're still young as well.
They're still learning and developing, and like I said earlier, they're not used to playing. Yeah, exactly. They're not used to playing this. So, whilst I 100% praise, I can praise more the fans. Support this season, like it's also important to remember that if we do slip up, don't get on their backs and stick behind them. Because obviously, as soon as you start doing that, their heads are going to drop. They're young boys.
Yeah. I can also imagine as the crowds are getting bigger and that expectation is building. Again, they're not used to that situation. No. The crowds are getting bigger. That's that bit more pressure on them.
Yeah, it is. But they've got to learn and develop and take that on board. I'm sure they're footballers. They want to aspire to be where Kalkidi's gone, Omar. So if they that's even more pressure at that level, so they've got to kind of learn.
Is Cal on the dual contract? There's a lot of
over the dual.
It was initially a dual contract.
Is it now permanent?
And now it's he obviously impressed and they've taken him permanently now. Fair play to Cal.
He's a good lad. It was quite.
We have missed him a bit.
Done and dusted in the day, wasn't it? It was done and dusted in the day. They contacted us on the Friday, and it was completely on Friday.
Well, it was the last day of the transfer window.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
So that was just.
Like I said to you the other week, Stu, is that we were chatting to him quite openly on the Brighton scene bus, and I know a player's never going to say, "Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm going," but you get some sort of like.
Don't even you, to be honest with you.
It all happens very.
Yeah, it happened on that front.
Were you surprised? Like, was it come out of the blue? Was it
I was,
he doesn't deserve it, but.
No, I was surprised.
It was a surprise, not because of his ability, just because, you didn't expect him to come knocking.
And he seems to be coming on the pitch tonight, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, I watched the Sutton Barrow game last Sunday. Sunday or Saturday. And
Aquame there as well,
isn't
he?
Yeah, and Aquame's at Ajiboy. Your name and Ajiboy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's lovely to watch. You've known all three of those boys were here 2 years ago and 3 years ago, whatever it is. And they all deserve their chance. They just got to.
Cal did message me, he was gutted because he really wanted to come to the Sussex game on the Tuesday, but he's got an away game at Halifax. I mean, he's got to go up the other end of the country as well.
What's your away game? Jesus Christ, this time of the year.
Should have stayed, Callum, should have stayed.
Stayed in Larson on a Tuesday night rather than driving at Halifax. Oh my God.
So points, you reckon we've got four games in March, Pete, you reckon 6 points out of 12, or do you think more?
Well, I'm just going on the basis of what a long unbeaten run we had from October the 5th to February the 4th or 8th, whatever it was. Then why can't we go on that sort of run again to the end of the season on the last 10 games? Yeah. There's no reason why we can't. No. Like I say, I've highlighted a couple of banana skins, but we've just got to maintain that 6 point gap and I think we'll be fine.
Spence?
I think Sam is easy.
It's easy, yeah.
Literally. One game at a time. It's one game at a time. We get the points. If we get the points, brilliant. We don't. If we get about it, move on to the next.
I'm saying 12 out of 12. So
bold. There's a bold shout.
Bold.
Semi-final or the final in that as well, yeah?
Right, who are they? Yeah. They're just a small town in Bognor, aren't they, really?
That's
what they were saying to us on Saturday. They were saying we thought the Worthing's a small town in Bognor. I was like, get your job through that.
That was Kingstonian fans. They gave us some grief, you know.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
For old boys.
Yeah, they gave us some old boys. But guys,
I nick their pension books on the way out.
Go and support the team in on these away games, because I think, you know, it's going to be important in Hornchurch. And,
call the road.
Call the road. Get down the road. It's not far away.
Probably be the biggest attendance Cole Rose ever had.
Have they got enough room?
No idea.
But we got that's the first game we're going to be talking about. It's going to be a massive game for the club, you know, versus Brighton.
And Stuart wants to set the kit out of the Amex.
Potential final at Yamex.
Growing up, that's all I've ever wanted to do, Pete, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so.
Really?
No pressure, lads.
Not at all.
The Amex hasn't been there, 10
minutes. Not at all. No, it'd be nice to, don't get me wrong.
Great thing it was coming.
Yeah. It'd be nice. It'd be nice.
Well, gentlemen, Stu Evans, thank you for coming us. And
thank
George,
you.
George, thank you for taking part in this. Come back when you want, if you want. I don't know if he's scheduled. So, yeah, no, it's
you'll find me in the kit room. I'll be in there to drag me in.
We'll come in and be in pleasure. Spencer, welcome. Cheers. To Supporters Association.
Cheers.
And this one over here, Peter Vale, Mini Motti. Over there. Listen to him on rebelyell.live every match day.
He's younger than you, isn't he?
Who?
Motti.
Stuart. That's a bit harsh, isn't it? I thought we were friends. I thought we were building a relationship.
And I think we should say, as Peter Crouch says, hashtag pass the pod. You know, we're going to grow with that hashtag, so pass it around. If you listen to it, you enjoy it, let us know. The Twitter on WFC, Rebel WFCSA. It's a bit of a mouthful sometimes. Give us a shout out if you want to do anything for the next one. Come and join us here at Woodside Road. Thank you for the guys for letting us use the boardroom.
Pleasure.
And we'll see you next month, end of March. Thank you very much.
See how right you were.
Yeah, 12 out of 12.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.